We've all heard it's tough to be the boss of an organization, and the stress that accompanies these jobs, it's worse than for us, for the minions below, the regular folk, right?
Well, not so fast, says our next guest. He says there's some bad research out there regarding executive stress, and many faulty assumptions are being made from that.
Joining us now is Keith Payne. He's an associate professor of psychology at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. His piece, The Myth of Executive Stress, appeared in Scientific American. We've got a link to that on the Central Time Facebook page. Keith, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Keith, in your piece, you point toward a few articles outlining the plight of the busy executive. First of all, where does that research come from? Where does that idea come from originally?
Well, originally there was some research done in the 1950s with Reese's monkeys, and the idea behind that research was to see whether animals who were shocked as a stressor fared better or worse whenever they had the ability to control that shock by pressing a button to prevent it. Now, in that early research, what was found is that it was the animals who had the ability to control the shock by preventing it who actually ended up being more affected by it. And in fact, a number of those animals in that condition ended up dying from stomach ulcers. So the early conclusion from that research was that being in a position of control and responsibility was so stressful that it actually had more damaging consequences to one's health than being in a position to experience the stressor with no control. Now, later research actually showed that study got it exactly backwards.
Well, how so? How did it get it backwards?
Well, in that early study, it turns out that the way that the monkeys that were in the high control condition got there was not by random assignment, which is what you would typically do in an experiment to make sure that everything's the same across conditions except the thing you want to look at. Instead, it was that the monkeys who learned to press the button to prevent the shocks fastest became promoted to be considered the executive monkeys, the monkeys with control. And in retrospect, it turns out that it may have been because those were the monkeys who were especially upset and stressed by those shocks that ended up getting put in that condition to be able to have the control over the shocks. In normal life, though, the people, both in animal studies and in studies of humans, it's the individuals that have the most control who have the better outcomes, and the people who lack control who suffer greater levels of stress and the health problems that come with that.
Well, turning more toward the humans now, let's define our term here. A lot of us use the word stress pretty willy-nilly. Is there an operational definition of stress that you're working with that helps us measure whether an executive feels more or less than the people who work for him or her?
Right. Well, people use the word stress in a lot of different ways. And I think, you know, in today's common parlance, we're overusing the word. So we use it to mean everything from, you know, I had a bad day to I'm really afraid of some upcoming event to, you know, actually experiencing some life-threatening trauma. And the actual reaction for both the body and the mind in those very different kinds of situations is all very different, and they probably shouldn't all be considered stress. So when stress is studied scientifically, it's done with a variety of methods, some of which are scales and self-report measures, but also it's often studied using biomarkers in which cortisol or blood samples are analyzed for hormones such as cortisol, salivary cortisol, and various blood tests.
And so it seems as though, you know, humans might be a little bit different than monkeys. And also you're questioning, it sounds like, whether, you know, the stress at the top is different than the stress on the bottom. And there's a certain amount of stress that just comes from control of, over your own life, over your own destiny.
Well, like I say, sometimes we use the word stress for very different kinds of reactions. And I think when somebody who's a senior executive in a company says they feel stressed, I don't doubt that they feel stressed out sometimes, but it means something very different if you just have too many appointments or can't get to all the emails than if you're somebody at the bottom of that organization in an entry-level position for whom a bad day or the random luck of the draw in terms of who gets laid off next could actually take away your entire livelihood. So the biological consequences of experiencing stress when you're at the bottom of a hierarchy are very different than when you're higher up. The worst case scenario is much, much different.
But couldn't we, I mean, assuming a good ethical outlook, say, hey, that person on the top has the stress of their own future, but also the responsibility that they're carrying for all the people below them. Maybe they can feel it when somebody is laid off or fired for whatever reason, or when the failure of the company not only affects their bottom line, but also that of the people beneath them.
Right. It seems like a totally reasonable argument to make, and intuitively, it often seems compelling. But when we look at the data are pretty clear across lots of scientific studies that where you are in that hierarchy makes a difference for the health outcomes that are associated with the experience of stress, even for major health outcomes and including mortality, death.
So what do we do about it? What's the takeaway there?
Well, I think there are a number of takeaways. One is the point I wanted to raise in my article was simply that just because somebody says they feel stressed, it doesn't necessarily mean the same thing depending on where they are in that hierarchy. But the other thing is, you know, there are hierarchies everywhere, but some hierarchies are more steep than others. And it turns out that in organizations that have a stronger hierarchy, a greater difference between the top and the bottom, or even across countries where the hierarchy is much greater and there is a higher level of inequality, that SES gradient or the stress gradient in response to status matters more. So in organizations or even in countries where there's less inequality, it's less of a steep ladder.
So we've got this hierarchical pyramid, if you will, few people at the top, lots of people at the bottom. It sounds like the stress happens in a reverse pyramid.
That's right, or at least its consequences for our health, it does.
So should companies be looking at structuring themselves, I don't know, more like collectives instead if they really want people to be functioning well and without, you know, unnecessary health risks?
Well, we don't necessarily have to go as far as collectives versus hierarchies, but the key here is how much control people have over their own lives and over their own day. So I think companies can structure themselves in a way that gives employees all along that ladder some degree of control and autonomy over how they're going to structure their own day or how they're going to structure their own tasks and make meaningful decisions about how they're going to get their work done.
Is this something that you've seen companies actually taking up, or organizations, universities, taking up the research and trying to put into practice, or is this still kind of on the cutting edge?
I think it's fairly cutting edge. I think there's a lot of research that's been done about it. I'm not aware of many programs that have actually been instituted to try to make changes. But the data is increasingly clear when we look across organizations or across different countries that relationship exists. And so I think the database is there for innovative new ways of organizing ourselves as a next step.
But I guess for, you know, employees to have more control over their work life, the boss has to give up some control. And I can't imagine that would be very appealing to a lot of bosses.
Well, it depends on the company, right? So I suspect that in some cases, more control for the employees means less control for the bosses. But at the same time, if employees are happier and more productive because they have that control, then ultimately that may also mean a better bottom line for the bosses.
Well, going back to the bosses, the people at the top do, and I don't know if this is too fine a point to measure, but do CEOs who delegate, do managers who delegate more feel less of that so-called executive stress than those who don't, that those who have a hand in everything?
You know, that's a great question. I haven't actually looked into it, but I wouldn't at all be surprised if some researchers out there are doing that right now.
Well, what would you advise, you know, business places who are looking at this and, you know, wanting to rejig things a little?
Well, I think the key is really control and autonomy. So, it's going to be applied differently in different organizations. In a government operation is going to be different than in a private company, and in a Fortune 500 company is going to be different than in a small business. But I think the takeaway message is that to the extent that employees can be given a role in organizing, not deciding whether or not to do a particular job so much as organizing how they're going to deal with challenges in front of them, then I think it's going to make them feel less like they're on the bottom of the totem pole and better able to deal with the stressors as they come up.
For the people, I guess at any level of the hierarchy, are they aware of the symptoms of stress, do you think? And if not, what do we need to do to be more aware of our own stress?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think it means so many different things to different people. I think people experience the stress that they have in different ways. So some people may experience it as, say, a stomach ache, for example, another person might experience it as not being able to sleep at night. So it's not just one thing that manifests itself similarly across people, but I think people can come to sort of notice what are their own stress symptoms by taking note of whenever they have a bad day, is it that they, you know, they just can't sleep, or they feel subjectively crummy, or is it that they eat differently? So the stress manifests itself in these different patterns, and I think people can try to come to notice their own patterns by taking a step back and observing how they react when they've had more and less stressful days.
Now, I know you're not trying to start a revolution here, but should we just be paying bosses less? Because especially, you know, the people way at the top of that pyramid, maybe their jobs aren't so hard. Maybe we should be paying people at the bottom more because they're stressed out.
Well, I think one of the reasons that people at the top of the pyramid have less harmful reactions to stress is because they're being paid very well. So that, like I said, the worst case scenario matters. If you have a bad day and you're an entry-level employee, you may lose your job. Whereas if you have a bad day and you're a senior executive, you know, you probably don't have your job in danger. And if you did, you would have a nice severance package that would mean it wouldn't spell financial devastation for you and your family. So I think those two things are intimately linked. And if you started paying people at the bottom more, they would start acting like people higher up the hierarchy.
Keith, thank you so much for joining us today. Interesting research.
Thanks a lot. Good to be with you.
We've been talking with Keith Hill. He's an associate professor of psychology at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. We've got a link to his article on this. It's The Myth of Executive Stress. It's on the Central Time Facebook page.
And you can let us know what you think by stopping over on the Central Time Facebook page. What do you think? Do you feel more stress when you are doing, you know, something that's at the bottom of the pyramid? Do you have sympathy for your boss? Or maybe now after listening, maybe a little bit less? Let us know. You can hop on over to the Central Time Facebook page.